And then across the countryside, people's cherry trees are getting chopped down.
There are so many little-known fairy tales, folklore stories, and chapters of history to explore in this world. So much of it is wackadoo! Unbelievable, disturbing, enthralling, mind-bending, and just plain weird. When I find these stories, they get stuck in my head, and I absolutely have to share them with someone. Usually I inflict these tales on my husband Dan, along with our chocolate lab Lily and cat Collins, but I thought, why not share these with you? I'm Gina Wagner. Welcome to Tail Wagging, a gleeful retelling of little-known fairy tales, folklore, history, and more. Hey, Dan.
Hey.
What have you thought of Spooktober so far?
Spooktober?
Spooktober stories.
It's a time when my very sweet and adorable wife with a beautiful smile tries to scare me. And it might work if I were like, I don't know, in the fifth grade.
What?
I don't know. You just do it with like this twinkle in your eye. I'm like, oh my goodness, here comes the like, there's candy. There's always candy.
That's why this podcast is so gleeful.
Yeah, it's a very gleeful, lighthearted podcast trying to be terrifying, dark, and evil for 1 month. For 1 month of dark, evil, terrifyingness.
And glee.
Yeah, and glee.
Today is a true story.
Oh no, not these.
Yes.
Not these. Not like this.
This one is about a president. A zombie president. Are you ready for this?
I'm already like, I don't know what the hell's going on. This is terrifying.
Okay. In December of 1797, Martha Washington wrote a nice lighthearted letter to a friend saying, "Hey, my husband, you know, the retired first president of the United States, he made a pact with some buddies not to die before the year 1800. Isn't that funny? Isn't that great?" Well, George Washington got really close, but he didn't make it. Dun, dun, dun. I'll set the scene for you.
Spoiler, he dies.
It was a lovely winter day in mid-December 1799. George Washington is 67 years old, and he's out riding on his horse, like you do in that time period. The weather turned for the worse. He was caught in a sleet storm with hail. Well, he's usually a really punctual dude, and he was more concerned about being on time for dinner than avoiding a chill, so when he got home, he refused to change out of his freezing wet clothes. He's just like, "Martha, my dear, I don't want your lovely dinner to get cold. Let's just eat now, honey." She would probably have rather he changed, because I can just imagine him, like, dripping all over the floor, making a mess. But he's like, "Honey, I really care about your cooking. Like, I'm here. I appreciate you." I'm assuming he's just a super nice guy. But the next day, he woke up feeling pretty awful. He had a cough and a runny nose, and instead of staying in bed, he's this stubborn guy, so he went out into the cold and decided to clear some trees for a couple hours. He's a manly man doing chores. And then that night, he got much worse. Much, much worse. He had contracted a viral infection in his throat and was sick for 2 days. He could barely speak. His breathing was labored. And he had a fever. Martha sends for the doctor. It turned out, like, most of his friends were doctors who may have accidentally killed him. His doctors did the usual treatment on him, which was bloodletting. They didn't have DayQuil back then.
Doctors thought illnesses lived in the blood, so extracting it was the most logical thing to do.
Wow.
They just thought this would cure most things, you know, like, there's something bad in you, let's get it out of there. Get the leeches. Somebody get the leeches. There's even a story of Marie Antoinette getting dizzy while giving birth, and so they did bloodletting on her, like, oh, you're dizzy? We're going to help you. Let's take out some of your blood while you're in labor. And she felt better. They're like, patting themselves on the back, like, we are so good at doctoring. You, me, we're all great. But at the same time, someone had opened a window and let in some fresh air, and they didn't give credit to the window at all.
So Marie Antoinette was giving birth next to George Washington, who is dying?
No. This is a tangent.
Oh, a tangent.
A tangent about bloodletting. A
tangent about bloodletting,
yes. I just thought you'd be fascinated.
Okay. It's just fascinating. Wow. You want to try it? See if you feel better?
No.
No? We're not going to try some bloodletting? We can record our reactions.
Because Charles II had a seizure, and they also did bloodletting on him.
Charles II is in this story, too?
He's also a tangent. He's also off doing his own thing in his own timeline. But he died from too much bloodletting. Like, almost all of his blood was drained, and he died, and it was awful.
Okay.
It's just not a good way to go. Like, you just can't live if you don't have enough blood in your body.
No vampires.
No. So, bloodletting. You start out by draining, like, half a pint of blood. Like, you know, just a little bit of blood. And this was just a service you could get. You could actually get it at the barbershop. If you wanted, you'd go in for a haircut, a shave, and some bloodletting. They would just keep leeches on hand or whatever. It was really normal. So, back to George Washington.
Okay.
After that first half pint of blood, a couple more doctors arrived, and they bled him 4 more times over the next 8 hours. Just kept taking more blood from this dude. But that wasn't the only thing they did. They also had him gargle with a mixture of molasses, vinegar, and butter, which nearly choked him because his throat was so inflamed. It was just plain nasty and it couldn't get it down. He inhaled a steam of vinegar and hot water. His throat was swabbed with a salve and dried beetles. And they gave him an enema because why not? Maybe that'll help. But when you lose 5 to 7 pints of blood, which is said to be what happened here, you're just not likely to make it. And Georgie didn't. Most of us only have about 10 pints, depending on height and weight. And he was a big guy, but not resilient enough to survive after losing half his blood supply. He knew he was dying, and he asked for his will. And he said, "I am just going. Have me decently buried. Don't let my body be put in the ground less than 3 days after I am dead." He was very adamant on this point, because there were many stories at the time of seemingly dead people coming back to life and a fear of being prematurely buried. So he died of hypovolemic shock, severe blood loss. There are still some arguments over this, of whether he died of his original sickness or whatever. Plenty of people arguing on the internet, but I feel like it's the blood loss. That's where I stand on it. He had another friend. This guy's name is Dr. William Thornton, and he had also been sent for because we just didn't have enough doctors to tackle this situation.
Apparently not. We didn't have any doctorly things that were doctor-like.
What? You don't believe in the bloodletting? Dr. Thornton was a physician trained by all the best medical schools in Europe. When he heard the president was suffering through his final illness, Dr. Thornton helped to relieve him through a tracheotomy. That was his bright idea. He was shocked to discover when he arrived that it was too late. The president was dead. Thornton said, "I was overwhelmed by the loss of the best friend I had on Earth." He really liked the president. But Thornton didn't want to give up. He had a plan. He said, "We can bring him back." They all got in a little circle, and he whispered to them, like, "I've got a plan."
Oh my gosh. We're going to put little bolts in his neck and hook him up to a lightning rod.
He's like, "We can do this. I I know science. I know math. I know so much, you guys. I think we can do this. So his big plan to bring George Washington back from the dead. The weather was very cold, and Washington had remained in a frozen state for several days. He was a Georgesicle. Thornton's plan is, okay, we're going to thaw him out in cold water, and then we're going to put blankets on him to give him warmth, which is starting to remind me of our boy who left home to find out about the shiver story. It's like, we just have to warm the dead body up. We're going to slowly bring him up to temperature. And then he wanted to open a passage to the lungs with the tracheotomy and use artificial respiration. He's like, okay, we're going to get some air in him. This is going to be a great plan. And then the last step is we're going to give him a blood transfusion from a lamb. He just needs some more blood. It's totally okay that he died. We'll just give him some new blood.
Blood type L. Lamb blood.
He figured if the man had died from loss of blood and want of air, if he gave these things to him, he said, there was no doubt in my mind that his restoration was possible. He's just going to come back like a zombie. But the other doctors and Martha, they didn't let him do it. After all this amazing plan, they wouldn't let him try it. Thornton was still pretty miffed about it when people questioned his ideas for resurrecting the president. He was sure it would have worked, and he was still mad about it 20 years later. But it almost happened. We almost had our first president as a zombie. And that's the story of our zombie president.
That story is terrible.
What?
Yeah. I thought we were at least going to get him to try to do it, or people would be like, we saw him walking one night, and that's why it's a zombie. It's a story about a zombie president that never happened. It's just somebody had this idea to make it happen. You'd probably tell that about anybody.
Anybody?
Yeah, probably. Name a dead person. Somebody probably was like, I'm going to do something to zombify him. And that was it.
So you're horribly disappointed?
It was not letting him do it. When does that stop any great man in history? You're supposed to just go dig up, exhume the body anyway, grave rob it, and just like do your experiment in secret. And then when George Washington Monster is walking around throwing little girls in the lake, then yeah, then you say sorry and you call Paramount and Universal Studios and they make a movie. And that's how it works. And this story had none of that.
All right. So how can we change this story if we made it into a movie? My thinking is that it would be just like you said, where they steal the body in the dead of night. He's working on it in a lab secretly somewhere. Nobody knows about it. And then across the countryside, people's cherry trees are getting chopped down.
Oh my God, you knew exactly where I was going with this.
And they're like, who could be doing this? What's happening? And they just hear, how, how, how.
Sure.
Democracy.
And you know, he's gotta go like clear away brains, and he's gotta go like clear trees even though he's cold, and he's gotta keep his wet long johns on at all times. Can't change clothes, even if it would kill him. I don't know, just something. He's got to do presidential things.
Do you think he starts making a zombie army? Does he start, like, fighting people and building the American undead?
The dead coats are coming.
It's a new political party, the dead coats. Yeah, our new story is actually better than the original, I think.
Yep, until he actually has to fight Abe Lincoln, the vampire killer.
And no! See?
They come together? Maybe they team
crossover
up?
Crossover series.
Crossover series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Pride, presidents, and zombies.
Well, that's our story.
World War G.
I hope you've all enjoyed Spooktober. Have a happy Halloween. Eat plenty of treats. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Tail Wagging, a gleeful retelling of little-known fairy tales, folklore, history, and more. If you'd like to get in touch or send us a story you'd like to hear on the podcast, you can find us on our Facebook page, Tail Wagging Podcast, or on Twitter, @TailWaggingPod. That's TaleWaggingPod. We'd really love it if you could take a moment to please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast anywhere you can. It really helps us get found on this new adventure. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend, tweet about it on the interwebs, or send a raven. And if you are under an evil enchantment or have been turned into a creature of some kind, I can't promise listening to the next episode will transform you back, but it might. This is Tail Wagging. May all your dreams come true.